the book of Luke. Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. I would invite you, as far as possible, to kneel with me as we pray. That you have given to us your Son to be that sacrifice so that we might live with you forever. And today the world is honoring and remembering that great sacrifice, and we want to also, Lord. And we want to remember that you are also the Creator. Today is a Sabbath, a memorial of creation. Lord, we pray for forgiveness for those things that we've said and done and thought during this week that we shouldn't have. We ask for your Spirit to come and fill us, to change us, to be more like Jesus, so we won't do those things. Lord, we offer to you our offerings and our tithes, and we pray that you will bless them, multiply them, and may they be used to further your work. We pray for those that are not here for various reasons, whether they're sick or discouraged, whatever their problem, whatever their need, Lord, we pray that you will give it to them, because we know that you can touch every life. Now be with us as we spend a little time this morning praising you and remembering the great offering of Jesus as he came to this world as a little child. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
O come, Emmanuel. The first promise of the coming Savior was given in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve heard that promise and looked for it to be fulfilled soon. Part of the joy at the first birth of their first son was the hope that this child might be the promised Savior. Adam, Eve, their children, and their children's children lived and died without seeing the Messiah. From Enoch to Abraham, Isaac and Joseph, the promise was passed on, but the waiting continued. The vision given to Daniel predicted the time of Jesus' first coming, but not everyone understood the message. Century after century of time went by, leaving many to wonder if the promise would ever be kept. Like the endless movement of the stars and planets, God's plans were not rushed or delayed. In heaven, the hour of the coming of the Messiah had been set. And when the great clock of time pointed to that moment, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It was exactly the right time. God had directed the actions of the nations until the world was ripe and ready for the promised Savior. Many nations were united under one government, and one language was widely spoken. From all over the world, Jews regularly returned to Jerusalem for the yearly feasts. As they returned to their homes, they could easily spread the news of the Messiah around the world. At this time, many were losing faith in their heathen belief systems. People, long tired of the complicated stories and fables, were searching for a religion that would meet the needs of their hearts. While God's truth seemed to have faded from the earth, many were searching for light. They were searching to know the true God, and for some, hope of life after death. Angels were amazed at this plan to save humankind. They watched to see how those who claimed to follow God would accept God's Son when he looked just like one of them. Many angels came to visit the land of the people, specially chosen to know and to follow God. Without being seen, they watched the priests of the temple and those who studied and taught the Holy Scriptures. An angel had already appeared to Zechariah as he ministered in the holy place of the temple to announce that the Messiah was coming soon. Zechariah's son had been born just as the angel had promised, and everyone had been told that this special son was going to announce the coming Messiah and prepare people to meet him. Yet the priests and the people of Jerusalem were not preparing to welcome their Savior. The angels couldn't believe it. How could these people, the ones God had chosen to tell the world about him, not even care about the arrival of Jesus? God had spared the Jewish nation so they could witness that Jesus would indeed be born from the family of Abraham and King David. It was almost time for Jesus' birth, but God's people didn't know. Across the whole land, people seemed to care only about getting more of what they wanted. None of the joy of heaven reached them. Only a few people waited and hoped the Messiah would come soon. To those people, God sent angels with a message. Some of the angels traveled with Joseph and Mary from their home in Nazareth to Bethlehem. The Roman emperor was forcing everyone to make a trip to their home city, to the place where their ancestors had lived. That way the Romans could count every family and charge them taxes. God had a plan. He used Caesar Augustus' decree to bring Mary to Bethlehem at just the right time. Because Mary was a descendant of King David, and she had to travel to David's city, Bethlehem, to be counted. Many years before, the prophet Micah had foretold that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And now, thanks to the Romans, he was going to be.
Mary, did you know that your baby
In the city of their royal ancestor, Joseph and Mary were lost in the crowds. No one noticed them or cared about them. Tired and homeless, they wandered down the long street from one end of the city to the other, searching for a place to rest that night. There was no room for them in the crowded inn. Finally, in a shelter full of animals, they found a spot to rest, and there, the Savior of the world was born.
Thank you. Sweet Jesus,
humans didn't know it, but the news filled heaven with joy. Angels gathered in the sky over the hills around Bethlehem, waiting for the signal to announce the happy news to the world. If the leaders of God's people had been waiting and watching for the Messiah, they could have joined in announcing Jesus' birth. But they were passed by. Instead, God searched for those who were faithfully waiting and watching. In the same field where King David, as a boy, had watched over his sheep, shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks that night. Through the long hours, they talked about the promise that a Savior was coming. They prayed that the heir of King David's throne would come soon. Then it happened. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, and it will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord."
Lift up your head, no need to mourn. His hand is stretched out still. For unto us a child is born, his promise to fulfill. Never grow dim. child that was born there. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He will come again.
When they heard these words, the shepherds began to imagine what this would mean. Finally, their country would have its long-awaited king. He would bring power and glory. He would free them from the Romans. But the angels knew that Jesus was a different King of Kings. He helped the shepherds begin to understand by telling them where to find him. This will be a sign to you. You will find him wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger.
Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why these songs of happy cheer? The greatness did you see? What glad tidings did you hear? Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Others came to see the baby Jesus. There came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." These wise men from the east were philosophers and scholars. They were some of the most wealthy and best educated people of their land. Some of their fellow magi were little more than magicians, who fooled people for their own profit. But these men were honored and their wisdom, kindness, and integrity. As these wise men studied to understand the stars of the heavens, they were impressed that a mighty creator must exist. Wanting to know more, they studied the Hebrew scriptures. They knew of the scriptures because Balaam, once a prophet of God, had been a magician or a wise man in their land. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Balaam had foretold the success of Israel and the appearing of the Messiah. His words had been handed down century after century. When they read the Old Testament scriptures, the wise men found more promises of the Messiah. To their joy, they determined that his coming was near, and that it would change the world with a new understanding of God. These men had seen a mysterious light in the heavens on the night that God's glory had flooded the hills around Bethlehem. And as the light faded, a bright star appeared. And it was not a star or a planet, but it remained visible in the same spot each night.
Countless days on a journey.
Actually a company of brilliant, shining angels, but the wise men didn't know that. It did seem that the star had a special meaning for them. They spoke to the priests and the philosophers and searched the oldest scrolls in the land. Balaam's prophecy proclaimed, "A star will come from Jacob, a ruler will rise from Israel."
Thank you.
Finally, they arrived in the land of Israel. As they walked down the Mount of Olives towards Jerusalem, the star stopped above the temple and slowly faded from view. The wise men hurried on, certain that everyone they met would be talking about the Messiah's birth. But when they asked, no one knew anything about the newborn king. Worse still, rather than causing joy, their questions brought them looks of fear and contempt. In the tiny town, they found no royal guard defending a newborn king. They found no priests, no scholars, no presidents, only a baby cradled in a manger and his simple peasant parents. Could this really be the one whom the scriptures spoke? Could this be the one who would raise the nation of Israel and be the light that would shine to the ends of the earth? They came to the house where the child was and saw him with his mother, Mary, and bowed down and worshiped him. Beneath the appearance of a small, helpless baby, they recognized the presence of God. And with remarkable faith, they knelt and gave their hearts to their Savior, then laid their gifts at his feet, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, a special spice.
Oh, yeah.
Heaven and earth are no farther apart today than they were on that night when the shepherds heard the angel's song. He is just as close to us today. As we go about our work, as we live according to His will, angels are with us every step of the way. The story of that night in Bethlehem will never grow old. How can that kind of love be measured? But coming to this earth to be our Savior, Jesus traded His throne and all of the angels in heaven for a manger and a barn full of animals. And this was only a small part of what He gave up. To become human like Adam and Eve, perfect before sin entered the world, would have meant giving up more than we can imagine. But what Jesus did was even more amazing. He became one of us after thousands of years of sin had made humans weak. Like all the children of Adam and Eve, Jesus had to live with the weaknesses He inherited from His ancestors. But He came anyway to share our pain and our problems. He came to give us an example of a life fully dedicated to God, a life without sin. Even before He was thrown out of heaven, Satan hated Jesus. He hated Jesus all the more because Jesus had promised to save the lost humans of earth. Yet, into this world where Satan claimed ownership, God allowed His Son to come as a helpless infant to meet life's dangers just like every other human. He allowed His Son to fight the battles that every person must fight at the risk of failing and losing His eternal life. Every father worries over his children. Looking into their faces, he can't imagine help but tremble at the dangers of life. There is nothing he would like more than to protect those children from Satan, to keep them safe from harm and temptation. Yet God sent His only Son into this world to meet even greater dangers, to take even greater risks, so that our children could be forever safe someday.
Glad tidings.
thing. A love beyond the understanding of humans. A love that amazes even the angels of heaven. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is with us.
Merry Christmas. I want to thank all of you for making this Sabbath very, very special. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the sacrifice you did in giving your Son. And thank you, Jesus. May our worship that we just had, praising you and thanking you for the great sacrifice you made, coming here as a little baby, a miracle, an impossibility, but not for you. Thank you for coming that we may have life, that we may have joy, we may have peace, that we may be filled. Father, may this day, this special Sabbath day, be a celebration continuously for the gift that you've given us through your Son, Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen.